it's important that we know each other's stories, where we come from, and not only that, in the direction that we're headed. And last week we began a 4-week series on being rooted, the agricultural imagery, if you will, through this series is very strong. And today we are going to be talking about the seed and the soil of growth. Come on. After you plant the seed, what do you want to see? What happens next? Once you plant the seed, what are we waiting for? Growth, right? We're wanting growth. And we expect the seed to grow, and ultimately we want to see that seed bear some fruit, right? I have this plant here that I purchased. I didn't start it from the seed, okay? But I wanted this to be an illustration to you, for us, that this plant, it needs the agents to make it grow. It needs the soil. And last Tuesday, I made that my day to water the plant. And then I took the plant Tuesday when I came in. I took this and I put it over on the windowsill, because look at all that sunshine right there, right? I'm like, that's got to be the best place, right? And so those things, it needs those things to grow. And my bride, she said, now, don't move it around too much. Plants don't like to be moved a lot, you know. So I'm like, she's got the green thumb, but that's where the sun is at, right? That's where you need something, the nutrients. One of the aspects of growing, you have to pit the plant needs to have sunlight. We talked about last week how seeds need healthy soil to grow in. We talked about the different types of soil. This week, we are going to talk about other necessary agents or an aspect of growth. A believer's life to bring a seed of the word to fulfill that bearing, that seed to bear fruit, that maturity of it. And giving it the agents that it needs to grow. So let's talk about those agents through the lens of 1 Corinthians, if you will. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 9. It's on the screen here in your Bibles. And it says, the fifth verse, what then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollo watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Father God, this morning, we want to grow. We want to grow in our relationship with you. We want to grow in our communities, in a way that we would bear fruit, that people would see you through us in our growth and the fruit that we produce. Father, this morning, as I share, this morning, I plead your strength, and that I am sharing from the heart. In your name I pray. Amen. I want to say to you this morning, this word, it's not only for you, it's for me too. When I am preparing, it's almost as though I'm preparing a message for myself. Or I find words that will help me. And so I want to help you too. So know that what I share this morning, it's for me first. And you two get, and the rest of you, not that you're getting leftovers, but it's for you too. So I just want to speak to that. All right. So spiritual growth is not growth by our own human hands. 1 Corinthians 3:5-6 says, "What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believe as the Lord assigned to each." Verse 6, "I planted," this is Paul, "Apollos watered, but God gave the growth." You see, throughout the 1 Corinthians, you see the early churches fighting and quarreling about many different aspects of faith. In fact, it was such a problem that the Apostle Paul addressed it throughout the 1 and 2 Corinthians, that letter. One specific argument was over the leaders. They're saying, who should we follow? Should we follow this guy or should we follow that guy? I must have felt that if I follow this guy, I'll be more productive. Or if I follow this guy, I won't be as productive. Paul clearly states that these men were simply servants of God, and that the fighting needed to stop. If there's fighting going on, there can't be growth. If the church is busy fighting, then how can it grow? If you're busy fighting, how can you grow? And we must realize that it is not of our own doing that growth takes place. It is God who makes us grow. God is the one who makes us grow. Paul's letter, this commentary, intended to free readers from unnecessary comparisons and the focus on God's work in their lives. Unfortunately, we too continue today, maybe not here, all right? We continue today to argue about what's the best way to grow. Perfect example. Well, we're never gonna grow the church if we keep on singing those songs. If we keep singing those hymns, come on. And then there's the argument. Well, how come we keep? What's up with these new songs? We can't grow if we sing those songs. If we're reading from the NIV and not from the ESV. Or the King James, because I know that the disciples were saying thou, thee, and all that other stuff. Right? Come on. Listen, each person, each pastor, wherever he may be, each minister, missionary, Sunday school teacher, they all have a place. They're all impacting growth, no matter where they may be, whether it's a church of 500 or a church of 35 or 5. God will be the one who grows the plant. He will be the one that grows the seed. Next, we are God's field. We are God's field. And 1 Corinthians 3, 7-9, it says, neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. Do you get that? So neither is the one who plants, neither the one who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. It's good to know that God is interested in my growth. It's good to know. You should know that God is interested in your growth. I believe that every educator, and correct me if I'm wrong, their educator in the first row, you want to see growth in your kindergarten kids, right? You want to know that they can count by the end of your time in teaching them, that they can count from 1 to 10 and proudly do that. Yeah? You see, our Father sees each human heart as a field ready to bear fruit. Verse 9 says that we are God's co-workers in growth. How can we practically aid God in his work? How can we do that? We must act with wisdom and immerse ourselves in community with others who love Jesus and are growing themselves. Did you hear Alicia's story? She said she needed to get with people, surround her, people that loved her, that were going to help her grow. I happen to know the Settlebergs. And they're an agent in helping people grow. They've been for the last 20 years, at least. We must dedicate ourselves to reading God's word and spending time with him in prayer. We must regularly worship. And I know I say that all the time, but I'm saying it because I one day, maybe, it's taken some root. That people are doing. How many of you took the charge that I gave you last week? How many of you said, okay, no social media today? Or maybe did the whole week? Or no TV or no gaming? I made Monday no media Monday. I didn't look at Facebook or the social media in any form or aspect. Not one. And at first it was kind of a struggle. I'm like, ooh, I wonder what I'm missing. What am I missing? And even my bride, because I didn't tell her this was a no media Monday. And she's like, oh, take a look. I'm like, no. Remember what I said? Okay. It's not hard. You just have to make an effort. If you make it an effort to grow, you can. Like fasting. I heard this quote. Fasting without prayer is just another diet. maybe don't get that. Fasting without prayer is just another diet. In other words, if I get off of social media and that time that I spend on social media, if I don't get out and pray, big deal. If I don't do social media and don't spend some time with him, I might as well just watch social media. I'm to stop those things so that I can draw closer to him, get rid of those distractors. We must constantly evaluate our lives and repent from our sins. If we're wrong, if we sin, then we've got to repent from our sins. And don't go about what worldly standards. Go by his standards, because that's the one that counts. In God's field, growth is not optional. It's not optional. The expectation is that we would grow and mature in faith, that we would not consider being stagnant an option. Paul makes this comparison in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 2. It says, when he's talking about infants, right? He says, but I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now, you are not ready. You see, in this passage, Paul clearly communicates to each person that, yes, we've got to start from somewhere. We're an infant, we're a baby in faith, but it is expected, we are expected to mature and become followers of Christ in a big way. Unfortunately, some Christians are comfortable with just being where they're at. Hey, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Okay, peace out. I'm not worried about doing anything else, right? Come on. That's not the way God intended you to be. That's not the way God intended me to be, you to be. It's our responsibility to take the necessary steps in our lives and others' lives to be agents of change that God intended you to be. You've got to want to grow. How many of you think that you could, an illustration, okay? How many of you think that you could feed your kid a great big meal today and expect them to last till next Sunday? Huh? How many of you, I mean, even adults, okay? Even if you got your favorite meal and you ate a whole big pot of whatever it is, you like gorged on it today like, oh, I'm tight like a tick, right? And think that everything you ate today will sustain you throughout the rest of the week and grow you. Is that something that's even fathomable? Is it? Come on. Do this. No. So I say this. Do you think you could come here on Sunday or any place and the pastor give his best efforts to feed you and think, okay, that's good and that's going to sustain you for the rest of the week or that's going to grow you? Come on. You've got to do other things. You're going to have to open up God's Word. You're going to have to communicate, get with other Christians, Bible-believing Christians. There's a family that their daughter. There isn't one here, but she's like, I know my daughter needs to be with other girls that are reading the Bible. So that she's in a little group with other girls. That's growing. You can't come here Sunday and get a Scooby Snack and think you're going to make it the rest of the week. You've got to get in the Word. You've got to be with people. And you got to get on your knees. And you got to get into Scripture. You got to get with somebody else. Iron sharpens iron. Even Lou and I this week, he said to me, what does the Bible say about this? I'm like, I don't know. You know what, Lou? Let's do this. You do a study, and I'll do a study. Let's look at it, and we'll come together.
That's growing one another. That's being an agent. That's being that fertilizer, that water.
Growth needs the right environment. You got to be in the right environment, right? Even like I said here earlier before, my bride said, you know, I know that, look at that ray of sunshine, that the plant is not getting any sunshine over here. I just can't leave it right here. I've got to move the plant to where the sunlight is at. I've got to place this plant in an environment and where it's got to grow. Church, it'd be ridiculous to think that I could take a rhubarb plant and plant it in the middle of the Sahara Desert and think that's going to grow. It's just not going to happen. Similarly, it is equally as crazy for us believers to think that if we're going to be robust Christians, robust children of God, that we must not allow ourselves to be immersed in environments or in activities where Satan can grab a hold of us and start creating weeds, stagnate our growth. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, there may be even people at your work. There may be people at your school. There's environments that people may be trying to draw you to. But I'm telling you, be strong, young warriors. Be strong, warriors. Don't allow yourself to be sucked into an environment that will pull you down. Let's look at Paul. Paul says in Colossians 6:2-7, he says, "Therefore, as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving." Rooted and built up in him, established in faith, just as you were taught. How many times when you were growing up, your mom or dad said, "I taught you better than that." How many times as a parent you said that to your kid? "You know, I've taught you better than that." ... Paul is saying the same thing. He's saying, do things that you were doing when the gospel seed was first planted in you. Continue to live in him. Root yourself in Christ. Root yourself in Christ by being devoted to him in everything that you say or do. There's something about when you're filled up with him, when you've got Jesus in your life, like, and you're doing all this, you're like, "Man, I just love the Lord." You just can't help it. When you're growing and he's inside you, and he's you're deeply rooted, it's like you just can't help it, right? Come on. What's that song? "There's joy unspeakable and full of glory, all the half has never yet been told." When he's in you like that, When you're thankful for everything he's done for you, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. When you got him, when you're rooting, you can sing them songs. I think we need to be willing to evaluate and scrutinize the environments that we are in. Be honest with yourself today. JR, are you supposed to be over there? Nope. Then stay away from there. JR, is that where you're supposed to be? Yes, Father. I know. That's right. That's where you're supposed to be. You know, the Holy Spirit will speak to you. He'll say, what are you doing up in here? Recognize. Oh, church. Recognize adversity as an opportunity of growth. It can be hard to differentiate unhealthy times and situations and seasons of adversity that God may be using us to grow. And we'll talk more about this next week, but you it's not like you or I can pick what challenge we want for today. You know why? Because if we pick the challenge, we'll make sure it's down here. We'll make sure it's a challenge that we know that we will succeed on our own. Like, I don't need him because I can do this on my own. But the adversity or the challenge that I may be going through, I don't get to pick. And he's like saying, JR, you're going through an adversity. You're going through a hard time, but I'm going to grow you. I'm going to grow you up. Yeah, I know it's hard, and I know that it stinks, but I'm going to grow you because I want you to be a leader of warriors. I have this verse on my wall, along with others. Lou can testify. This verse is probably the first verse that I hung up. It says, it's from James. It says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. That was the first verse that I put on my wall. It's important to be prayerful through adversity, to seek counsel from mature believers. It doesn't do any good for me to go to a brother or sister or somebody who the maturity is not strong. I need to come along somebody that knows what they're doing. You just don't jump into an airplane. I see these. I've been watching these kids jump in an airplane and they're learning how to fly. It's great, but they just don't jump in there thinking that they know how to do everything, moving instruments and all that. They're seeking law of knowledge from the instructor. Someone who can, that has the knowledge. Church, seek out people who have knowledge when you're going through those tough times. It doesn't make you weak to seek out help. It makes you human. When you're going through those adversities, seek out mature Christians that will help you grow. You might not be where you want to be right now, but by the grace of God, you are where you were at yesterday. Yeah. I just thank God that I'm not where I was several years ago. Because the JR years ago would have nothing to do with any of y'all. I'm just being serious. I wouldn't be in this place. I wouldn't be in a sanctuary worshiping him and singing and crying and pleading to him. It's by his grace. It's by those agents. It's by the soil that I finally placed myself in. I wasn't in good soil. The soil I was in was rotten. It wasn't good soil. You can't expect to grow if you're not in good soil, church. You're not going to grow. It's not going to happen. You need basically a transplant. You need to get in good soil. Be in a good environment, a productive environment, an environment that's prosperous. If something needs to change in you to make you grow, then change. Then change. You've got to make the choice to change it. And ask God to grow you and give you the courage to embrace the growth. Embrace the growth as it comes to you. Trust the process of growth. You are God's field, and it's God who will work through the agents of transformation to bring about growth. Philippians 1:6 says this. It's not going to be on here, so you're going to have to memorize it or look it up later, write it down. Philippians 1:6. Oh, I did do that. Okay. It's been one of those kind of weeks. He said, he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. He who began a good work in you is going to see it through. He's the grower. He's not going to give up on you. He's going to see it to completion. Keep meeting with others. Keep in your Bible. I challenge you again. I give you this charge. That whatever that one thing is, whether it's media, social media, or whatever it is, just say for a day. It's not hard. I did it. One day to say, okay, I'm not going to game today. I'm not going to watch TV today. I'm not going to do social media today. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to read God's word. Or I'm going to hang out in his glory, his majesty, and listen to what he has for me. Because sometimes we do too much talking. And when you're doing all the talking, he's like saying, go ahead, all right. But I have something better for you. Let's pray. Father, I know you desire to see me grow. I know you do, because the person I was before, I'm not like that anymore. I'm one of your kids. And Father, for those who are in this sanctuary and in my within my hearing. I pray that this word will strengthen those and saying, you know, I want to grow. I want to grow. I don't want to be that infant Christian, that baby Christian forever. I want to grow. I want to mature. I want to be able to produce. I want to grow up and I want to be strong. I want to be deeply rooted. I want to be so deeply rooted that when people see my growth, they're like, I want my life to be like that. That I'm so deeply rooted that in the storms of adversity, I will stay strong. That's my prayer this morning, Father. That we would grow. Grow closer to you and in you. In your name I pray. Amen.